What a week it's been. First of all, I talked to Nikki DeLoach and JC Doten. It was great. They shared all sorts of great behind the scenes stuff. We had fun, you know, joking around, and great interview. It was Nikki's second time being on, JC's third time, so felt like old friends. But today, I had the opportunity to talk to Andy Walker. We've been trying to schedule this for over a year, and something always came up. We thought we had it a couple weeks ago, but he was off in Malta. You'll have to hear about that later on in this interview. But I tell you what, the guy is absolutely fantastic. I was so appreciative. He was busy filming his Christmas movie, and he would come in and talk to me during a break. It was so kind of him. I mean, he went above and beyond. Unfortunately, we got through about halfway through and he got called back on the set and had to go do some more. And I waited, and when he came back, he was being transported to another location. And it kind of sucked. There's no other way to say it, but the reception was not great at this point. He's up in Vancouver, wherever he is, and it just was not great. So the second half of the interview, we have some technical issues, some of the reception cutting in and out. I did my best to clean it up as well as I could editing, but you know, there's a couple things that just didn't quite make it, which is a shame because the guy is fascinating. Speaking of fascinating, he gave me probably the best answer I've ever gotten with so much insight. You'll have to hear it when he talks about the Steel Toes experience. Just great. So, you know, I have to say thank you, Andrew. I so appreciate you going out of your way to make this happen before Curious Cater airs tomorrow. So, once again, you're awesome. And without further ado, here's Andrew Walker. This podcast was created by fans for fans and is not affiliated with or sponsored by Hallmark or the Hallmark Channel. Today is a huge week. We had Nikki and JC on earlier, and today we have Detective Tom Schultz, Andrew Walker. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing? Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, thank you, especially because anyone who's watching on YouTube will see you got some exciting stuff in the background, which I'm guessing you cannot talk about.
Yeah, these high school trophies here that I cannot talk about any of these high school trophies.
Okay, are they all yours?
They're all mine. Yeah, all the records I set back when I was somewhat of an athlete.
Okay, well, so we had, as I just mentioned, we had Nikki and JC on earlier, and when I gave them a choice of you and Lachlan over a cliff, who would they save? Nikki didn't hesitate and she chose Lachlan, and JC, she had the choice of you or a box of Cheez-Its, and she chose the Cheez-Its. So first of all, how does that make you feel?
You know, to be expected. I knew that I would probably be chosen last. It makes me feel like I have to fend for myself here, Eric. It's just me against the world.
That's a tough place to be, I feel, for you. Now, okay, I'm going to give you the choice. You have Nikki, you have JC, and a box of Envy apples that are hanging over. Who are you pulling up?
Ooh, boy, tough decision. Well, you know, I got mouths to feed at the house, Eric. I have little boys, so I'd have to go for the apples.
Yeah, they didn't pull you up, so perfect.
All right, they didn't pull me up.
I'm going to make it a little tougher now, though, because you have this little, you know, triad thing going with Paul Campbell and Tyler Hines. So now if they're over the cliff, you got to pick between three men or two men, I guess.
Two men. Well, I mean, I'm not strong enough to hold a man over a cliff. So they're both falling down.
You'll take
the baby. They're both going down. I'll take the baby. Perfect. Exactly.
All right. So you got to talk about. You have all your little trophies behind you that we're giving you now. But if this acting thing didn't work out for you, what do you think you'd be doing today?
Oh, man, what I would be doing today? I would I love being outdoors. I love landscaping. I used to have a landscaping company when I was younger. So I'd probably be doing something with like outdoor architectural design because I love architecture as well. And so something with outdoor architectural design. I love hospitality as well. Something in the outdoor or people up. Something to deal with people as well.
Well,
I like it.
I'm about to redo my backyard, so you can come over here and practice if you want
Hey,
and
Eric, let's
totally
go.
redo
Let's go.
it.
Let's do this.
I did see you posted like a reel, was it last year, beginning whatever, when you redid your whole backyard with the artificial
Yeah.
grass and all that. Looked good. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that was look, I'm a East Coast guy who grew up with grass, real grass, but being in California, it's just the watering, and we're trying to find some drought-resistant way of not spending so much money on water, and not
Right.
wasting so much water. So we switched to grass to turf.
I'm in Arizona, so I hear you. That's where we're going to.
Okay.
All right. So Hallmark actors have like a couple have really perfected their chemistry. You got Chris Palaha and Jill Wagner, Brennan Elliott and Lacey Chabert. And then there's you and Nikki. What do you think it is that just two people just really somehow just connect?
You can't sometimes you can't put a finger on it exactly. It's like this familiarity. The minute I met Nikki back 8 years ago now, 9 years ago, it felt like I had known her from another life. And she challenges me. She and I have the same work ethic. We were athletes growing up, and so I think we approach our work very similarly. I'm also in awe of Nikki. Like, I think she's one of the most spectacular, well-rounded human beings that I know. And so there's that sense of just feeling very fortunate every time I'm around her as well. And just letting her do her thing. She thrives, especially under pressure. And I just feel lucky to be working with her, because she's such a talented. She can sing. She can dance. She's incredible actor. So
Now she's a writer too.
now and writer, sorry, writer as well,
Yeah.
and mom first.
All right. So I just dropped in this writing thing, which I guess rolls into my next question. But as an actor, how do you navigate between staying true to the script and then fruit infusing your own creativity into the role? You know, like you have to create it yourself, but you've got the script. How do you do that?
Well, it's a lot easier. It's more fun also when you have the ability to do it over and over again. And we get these breaks, with the Curious Caterer series, where we can take a couple months off and then look at the work we did from the previous episode, and also where there's new characters that are being introduced. So you learn a lot more about your past through some of the new characters that they introduce, like this new movie. They introduce some characters. I don't want any spoiler alerts here, but they introduce some new characters from my past, and also Dave Track's past, and which start to, which allow me to form my better opinions about who Tom Schultz was, and also affect me in a certain way. So I think it's amazing. It's like a it's a little nuance. These new layers, right? You're peeling back the layers of who this guy is, and having multiple cracks at the bat, and being able to do episodes like this is the greatest gift. I love working on the one-off Hallmark movies, but to have the ability to revisit a character over and over and over again is just been so much fun.
Actually, that's what I talked to. Well, but just so you know, JC's been on 3 times now. We feel we have to get her a robe or something like that to do that. And Nikki's been on twice. So, but that's one of the things we've talked about is Curious Cater, how the first one, I don't want to say it was necessarily clunky, but it was, it was okay, but we're meeting all these people. But that second one, it really jumped with the characters and the relationship. So totally hear you. Totally hear you.
That's great. I love that it translates to you.
So, all right. So what Hallmark is from all the different people we talked about it, totally different experience from acting and like most different, roles you have or productions. Like for you, what's the hardest part of being in a Hallmark movie compared to, being in another production type?
I think it's always, and I'm so used to it now. I'm on my 30th Hallmark movie now. And I guess it's just what I've grown to, grown used to, grown accustomed to. But I think it's just the time in which we have to shoot these movies. That's the toughest thing. I think it's, you're you, now I my preparation is, I'm more dialed now in my preparation than I ever have been before. I know how to best prepare in my way, in my own way. But I think it's also a great, now it's become more of a challenge, and a challenge that I gladly accept, because I think there's a lot of actors that come into this world and they say, oh, this is it's just a Hallmark movie. I can dial it in. I can, phone it in, or I don't have to do that much work. But I think the people that continuously work in these movies, really, they don't, I don't look at Curious Caterer, for example, as a Hallmark mystery wheel. I look at it as a network television show or a feature film. I'm going into I'm approaching this role, Tom Schultz, as I would any role that I would do, and playing this detective. So, I think the toughest thing is definitely the 15-day shoots and the hard out 12-hour days that we have in this world. And a lot of
Correct.
people they don't know that. They don't know that we only have 15 days to shoot them, these things, with 12-hour days. And also, only a couple weeks of preparation, where a feature film you'd get 3 4 months to prepare for the feature film.
And I'll just let all our listeners know that I was supposed to talk to you a little earlier today, but you are on a shoot right now and exactly what you're talking about, just crunching into you're on a little break. So that's why we're
Oh,
kind of rushing a little quicker than we normally
it's
would,
good, all
but
good.
that's the
No,
way Hallmark goes. You got that tight window.
okay.
All right, we're gonna go in a little time machine and take you back, to an older mystery. I gave you a little heads up, but wedding planner mysteries. We had Ron Oliver on. We talked about it, and he said it was one of the craziest movies he's ever done. Like they got the script that just didn't work in, the motion and the reality. And he was saying you guys were just pretty much improvising the entire movie to make it what it was. And I'll say the first time I watched it, I was like, what the hell did I just see? This is like crazy. But then it's so endearing. It's so fun. It's like a blast watching you guys. So what was it like, for you being part of that experience? Because it was also earlier in your way earlier in your Hallmark career.
I give all the credit to Erica Durance on that movie. She's an amazing actress, and she carried that movie. I feel like I don't even really remember what I was doing in that movie. I was still so fresh and new, and I was not, again, going back to preparation and lack thereof time. I didn't have a lot of time to prepare for that role, and I didn't know how to prepare for these short shoot movies as I do now. Like, I know what to do now, and I know how much I need to dedicate. And I think also just getting, maturing and understanding myself, and growing into myself as a person now. I know what my downfalls are, and I know what I need in order to really focus and retain information. And I didn't know that back then. I think that movie was like 8 9 years ago. So, it was a difficult shoot for me. I mean, winning Planner Mystery. It was, I think I would have had a lot more fun with it now at this age and knowing what I know now as, you know, as an actor, a little older actor, middle-aged actor. Yeah, so I second what Ron Oliver said about the movie, because it was a crazy shoot.
So it had the craziness of this, like, I don't want to say ill-prepared script, but just all that stuff coupled with you just figuring out the whole space and stuff like that. It just made for a doubly insane one then, huh?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And the locations we were shooting in, it was, it was very hectic, very hectic.
All right. So now we're going to go to another older movie. You starred in Steel Toes. Okay. And that was a extremely different character than what you do now on Hallmark. Right? Now I'll say I've never seen it. I've read the IMDb. I've read you had all sorts of accolades for it, but it was pretty gritty and yes, not Hallmarky. So what's it like, you know, looking at yourself now and you become this, and I know you're Canadian, but like you're the American, all American guy next door type character. Back when you were filming that, did you have any idea like this is where you're going to be 15 years or whatever it is later with, you know, this kind of persona?
No, short end of that answer is no, not at all. You know, it was a time in my acting career where I was just coming off of not working for a couple of years. When I got Steel Toes, I hadn't worked for about a year and a half, and I'd moved back to Montreal and to save money and also to reconnect with my friends and my family, because I'd been in LA for 2 years at that point, 2.5 years. And the bulk of my work was half hour comedy. And I just got off Sabrina the Teenage Witch for 13 episodes. And you know, I had shot a bunch of pilots, live studio stuff. And then I didn't work for a year and a half. And so I was really trying to find myself as an actor. And it just so happened that I booked probably one of the most challenging roles I've ever had in my entire life. And before I booked Steel Toes, I had shaved my head because I just wanted to give myself a whole new look. And lo and behold, I get this audition for this neo-Nazi skinhead. And it just so happened that my counterpart was David Strathairn, this incredible actor who's a mentor of mine. And he, at the same time, had just shot Good Night and Good Luck. It was directed by George Clooney, and he was nominated for an Academy Award for his role as Edward R. Murrow in that movie. So it was a force, you know, this guy, he's unbelievable. And he took me under his wing throughout the entire project. And we had 3 months of rehearsals off and on. He'd come up from New York. He lives in, outside of New York City, upstate New York. And he'd come up every once in a while. We would rehearse at my place. And then it was a play. The movie was a play, and he had done the play in Pittsburgh. And he had told the playwright, he said, if you ever go to camera with this, let me know, because I'd love to be in this movie. And fast forward to once I had shot that movie is the one what got me my first Hallmark role. The director of Bride for Christmas, this guy Gary Yates, Bride for Christmas was my first Hallmark movie. He saw me in Steel Toes and he said, hey, I want this guy for Bride for Christmas. And so that movie really saved me as an actor and brought me to where I am today in the Hallmark world.
That's amazing, because like I say, it's not the same kind of character.
I know. Eric, I'm getting called in to do this. It's going to take me 15 minutes.
Okay.
Can I call you right back right after?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
I'll just keep this open. So just log right back in.
Thanks so much.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
So you are generally considered the good guy. And how appealing would it be for you to go ahead and guest star in one of the other mysteries and be the bad guy?
That would be a lot of fun. You know, I definitely do not turn my nose up at roles I haven't played before. And I haven't played in my younger years as an actor. I played a lot of not so good guys, the skinhead movie that I was talking
Right.
about earlier. And it was fun. A lot of fun. So I wouldn't mind.
You'd blow some people's minds with that. All right. So you just got to, you're filming your 30th. Is that what you said? Right now?
Yeah, I think this
Okay.
is my 30th now.
So you've had a lot of co-star supporting people. Who would you say is the absolute funniest person you've worked with?
Oh man, that's pretty easy. Paul Campbell. Paul
Interesting.
Campbell's one of the funniest people I've ever worked with, and Tyler and Paul together are two of the funniest people. I mean, I also outside the Hallmark world, I played Fred Willard's son in a TV show, and he was also one of the funniest guys that I've ever worked with. But
Nikki
Paul
said,
is in Hallmark is amazing.
that's what Nikki said. He's just absolutely hilarious.
Yeah,
So,
he's hilarious.
all right. So now forget the funniest person. What's your, you've done 30, 29. What is the one that is your favorite one that you've ever been in? Hallmark movie.
I mean, it's tough to say.
I
They're all my little
know you're
children.
tough,
They're all
but
my little
everyone has their
children.
favorite kid. They just lie.
Well, I shot one in Malta. There's ones for different reasons, right? Like, I just shot one in Malta. Super challenging project. I basically, it was myself and my lead actress, and the two of us carried the movie. It was I had tons of dialogue, more dialogue than I've ever had in any Hallmark movie before. And so that one, just because of how beautiful it was and how challenging it was, and we were shooting 10-hour days. We were shooting in really, kind of off the beaten path places, and at the mercy of weather. And so that movie, I think,
Wait,
was one of my
Malta.
more
Isn't
favorite
Malta just
movies.
beautiful all the time? You're trying to say there's bad weather in
Well,
Malta?
there was bad weather when we first got there. It was windy and raining, and then it turned for the better, which was great.
Right.
But I would say, yeah, so that movie for its reasons, but also South Africa, the Safari Romance movie, but all my Nicki DeLoach movies are incredible. But I'd say out of all, Three Wise Men has got to be one of my more favorite movies I've ever done.
All right, very good. I think a lot of people will agree with you that you haven't been in a lot of good ones. All right, so you have been, as we just said, in a bunch. So there's probably not many out there, but who would you like to be in a movie with who you haven't yet been in a movie with?
I'd love to be in a movie with Erin Cahill, I think. She's a
Oh,
good
yeah.
close friend, and she's great. And we had worked together around 17 years ago, 15 or so years ago in Berlin, and now we're working in Hallmark movies together. So I'd love to work with Erin Cahill.
Well, she's on my Mount Rushmore, so I fully support that.
How Say that question one more time, sorry.
Okay, so we're on the
I would
fourth.
have. Are we
You
okay?
back? Yep, I think so. All right. So we're on the fourth episode of Curious Cater. How has Tom Schultz from you grown from that very first episode to this one? How have you evolved that character?
Well, Tom was a very closed guy. He kept his cards close to his chest. He was also working through a lot of issues. At the very beginning, it was a kind of a fresh divorce that he was going through. He had left San Francisco. He was a he was didn't want to live in the city anymore, and he was convinced that to move back to small town, to kind of just live a more simpler life. And when he gets to town and ultimately has had this separation, he is weary of everyone, and especially he doesn't want to fall for somebody. He's happily single, but obviously Goldie piques his interest, and irks him at the same time in the first movie. But I think for Tom, it's just he's grown to trust, and he's grown to appreciate Goldie and what she has, her savviness and her warmth and her undeniable charm and she's really broken him out of his shell, out of his out of this like rigid rigid shell that he's been, that or this like hard shell that was so tough to crack. And so he's a little more fun loving now, and kind of can shake him up a bit, and he's willing to now he knows people. He knows Marla. He's Mason has become somebody that he's endearing to him, as much as Mason is still his the still he's, Mason's still got to pull up his bootstraps a bit, and he's got to he's got to prove his worth in a way still. He's just loosened up a lot more. And in this movie, you'll see new people come into Tom's life. You start to realize, I don't want to give anything away, but you'll see this new person coming into his life that he's what has made him, what's kind of pulled together all the fabric of what's made Tom who he is today. So
So is Tom Schultz pretty much, is he inspired by anyone, like another investigator or detective or anything like that? Where, how do you come up with how you play Tom?
I watched a lot of movies. I watched True Detective, I watched Matthew McConaughey, I love the Mission Impossibles, Tom Cruise. But really, no, Tom is just and he's my introvert. He's the guy that I that he's an alter ego of mine, and he's somebody that I think that I wish that I would have been confident enough to tap into when I was younger, because I was somebody who would come into a room and feel like I need to, overly welcome and be warm to people and overly kind of welcome people and make up for lack of of conversation. But Tom is very comfortable sitting in silence, and I think that's a it's a great quality. And it's kind of a power position as well. Like he's somebody who's a guy, few words, and that's why him and Goldie work really well together. She's the yin to his yang, and she's also, brought this happiness and this shining light to his darkness, to his dark past. So,
All right. That's pretty good. That's interesting. You got a little alter ego going in Tom there. And I feel you that going into that comfortable silence, that's a tough place to be. So good going, Tom. All right. Nikki strongly hinted that Goldie and Tom finally are getting together in this episode. Can you with you can elaborate more if you want, but just tell us, what do we have to look forward to in this episode, maybe that, is a little bit different, or where it's going from the previous three?
So yeah, so what I was saying is that Nikki, being a writer for these mystery wheels, she kind of gets an inside look at podcasts, and she has to keep her ear to the floor on what people are looking for in these movies. And she came across a lot of people complaining that our love story was moving along too slowly, and so a lot of Curious Caterer fans were a little impatient with how slowly things were moving along. And Nikki is a big part to this, that we were going to start bringing these two together. And so yeah, this movie has hinted, but I don't know if she's strongly hinted or if she kind of said mentioned anything, but yes, you will get that. All right, I'm hoping we're not going to have many more of these issues, because I'm on the freeway now, Eric, so it should be
Okay.
smooth sailing from now.
All right.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry
I
about
feel
this.
bad. I feel bad.
The 3-hour
It's all
podcast.
right. From what I understand, you had one wardrobe, one location. Have you ever been in a movie where it has been that simple in those aspects?
Never, never. The steel, the skinhead movie I did, I had two wardrobes, but basically I was in a prison jumper, and then I was in my civilian clothes at the very beginning of the movie. So I had two changes, but I've never had only one, which was a dream for somebody who hates changing.
Now, was it literally one? It wasn't just one, right? You had multiple versions.
No, I had one.
So you wore the same clothes for 2 weeks?
I wore the same clothes for 3 weeks.
Wow. Okay. Now, those pants look pretty sexy. Did you end up like keeping those and you wear those around town now?
I wish. I wish, Eric. That would be a dream come true.
All right. We also heard that there was a fun karaoke night when you were out and about there, when the whole
Oh, you
cast
heard
went
about a
out.
karaoke
Yes.
night? Yeah.
Now, what I did not hear what you sang. What was your song of choice for karaoke?
The problem with me and karaoke, Eric, is that I tend to hog the mic. I feel like I reflect back on my karaoke nights and I'm like, oh, did I not let anybody else take the mic that night?
So you have more than
So,
one, is what you're saying?
well, I just, the thing is, I'll just sing anything. I'll just, if anybody needs help or they call me up, I'll just go for it. Nothing to lose. But there are some go-to songs that I have. Like I have Montel Jordan, This Is How We Do It. That's a pretty good one. I like a lot of Hall and Oates. I'll play a lot of Hall and Oates. I think I try to attempt Bon Jovi, like Bad Medicine and stuff, but the tough songs. It's a tough song to sing.
Well, you also have Nikki and JC, two very trained singers. And then I heard there was like
Oh yeah.
another one of the supporting people was some fantastic singer there. So you had some serious talent around you.
Oh yeah, Brock. Brock Morgan, they call
That to
him.
us.
They call him. Brock Street Boy. He's a Brock Street Boy, Brock.
Awesome.
So he
Awesome.
sings. He sings all the Backstreet Boy songs.
So I'm going to go back to also since you have the I don't know if it's the luxury or the misfortune of coming after Nikki and JC, but when we were talking about it, they made some comments about how you're always stretching, like between every take, between everything, you're just constantly stretching. So I have to ask, is the reason why because you know that everybody's kung fu fighting and you just want to be ready in case it all starts going down so you can
Man,
just get at
I
it?
just my reasons are many. One is just trying to keep up with my boys now. I got to be faster and more keep my speed for as long as possible, so my 8-year-old can't beat me in a race. I also just it's just maintenance. You get a little older, and I work out pretty heavily and pretty religiously, so I just try to keep myself nice and limber.
Okay, so along that lines, we see all the pictures and the videos of you and all the different Hallmark people. And one of the things that's really unique about Hallmark is you guys really are kind of like that old school Hollywood thing where it's like the whole family and you guys know each other.
Yes,
It's not
the
like you're in
state.
and out, right?
Yeah.
So if there was the we're in an Olympic year, so if there is the decathlon taking place, and so all of the Hallmark actors, male, female, whoever, were going to compete. Who would win that gold medal in the decathlon? And where would you put, like, are you going to win it? Or who is the most athletic person in this universe?
What are the events
I don't care.
in
Ten. Any
the
you can choose our 10. And it's not
decathlon?
like drinking ones. We'll have that one for the second one. But like, athletic things. So it's like
I mean,
running,
look,
jumping.
Nikki and I are extremely competitive. Every time we're together on something, we always just want to be the best. We always want to win it. And so I think we'd have a pretty good shot at a 1-2 punch. I would say You know, look, there's a lot of athletes actually in the Hallmark world. Like John Brotherton, I know he could hold his own. Ben Ayers, same deal. Paul has he's determined. He'd keep up for sure. I think I would take him in endurance. And possibly speed as well, but he's a strong guy. I don't know. A lot of girls too, like Brooke Dorsey, and I don't know. I would say, look, I'm biased, but Nikki would be up there as one of the top competitors. I'd have her on my team, that's for sure. I'd want her on my team. I wouldn't want to compete against her.
All right. Then who's dragging in the back and maybe not finishing this competition? They're more out there saying, you know what, I'm gonna go get some dinner and some wine. I'll see you guys a
Tyler Hines.
little later. Right. That's how he rolls, huh?
Yeah, he doesn't care. He doesn't even want to compete. He's like, wow, whatever.
Last question here is, and you just brought him up, Tyler. You talked to Paul. There was the very cryptic, you guys decided you're going to break Instagram and release the three little emojis. Can you give us anything on that?
It was just a fortunate, it was a very lucky day. I guess Paul and Tyler were just like looking at my Instagram and they wanted to do something with me. So I just, it's all I can think of. I don't know what happened that day.
So,
Just good timing, I guess.
are you denying that there's some master plan behind it?
Well, I'm not, no, I mean, I hope that we're able to do a, is that what you're talking about? A sequel to Three Wise Men? I hope that's something like that
No,
in
that
the future. But
people are buzzing like mean something.
it's more of just a it's a cry to the powers that be for us to come together and be able to do something together.
Well, I would say it obviously was well received, and it was one of the great things is it's the so you're going back two seasons, but it was the one where it showed like the romance doesn't have to be the
Traditional woman,
romantic
yeah,
one, right?
female,
And it
yeah,
could be
exactly.
the relationship of those. And then last year we had Santa Summit, which had the romance, but it was really the three women there. So, and they all did well. So fans are supporting, and I think you guys would, once again break records with you if you're able to do a sequel of some sort, whether it be another three men or another something. So.
I would love nothing more. It would be a dream come true, and as I had answered earlier, it was my most favorite movie I've ever done was the first Three Wise Men, and it would be incredible if we got that opportunity to do another one.
Thank you very much for your time. Completely looking forward to another Curious Cater. It's great too because this is the first, or I shouldn't say the first, but it's like the latest one that's actually having multiple episodes. And that's what we really want to see these characters grow. And like you said, Tom has really
Yeah.
evolved and Marla and Goldie have evolved. So it's really great that we've seen them grow. So we're excited. Tomorrow night, we'll be tuning in. Hopefully, can't wait for that fifth one to then circle around and get there so we can really see where you guys take it to a whole nother level. So,
Oh yeah, me too. Well, hey, look, I really appreciate it, Eric, and sorry we were bouncing in and out of
yeah.
reception here, but it's because of people like you that, I'm able to do things like this. So thank you so much, and thanks for getting, allowing fans to be a little more aware of Curious Caterer, and I really appreciate your time and support. Thank you.
Oh, and like I say, I know you're busy. I know you're right in between things. So I greatly appreciate you working me in. So have a
No,
great
man.
day
Thank you for
and
working me in.
finish this movie and
You bet.
let's see what it is.
I can't
Talk to you
wait for you to
later.
see what it is.
Bye bye.
See you later. Appreciate you, man.